Well, it's a privilege to be in the presence of God today to continue the study of His Word, especially during this season of the year when we celebrate our Lord's birth. So let's look up to Him and lift up our hearts to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for choosing this day for us to be in Your presence. Thank You for being the giver of life and breath and all things. Lord, I surrender myself to You and to the authority of Your Holy Spirit, that You will speak Your word through me and honor the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray all these things with thanksgiving in His precious and powerful name. And all God's people said, Amen. Well, on Christmas Eve 1914, during the First World War, also known as the Great War, the guns fell silent along a 30-mile stretch of the Western Front. Soldiers peered cautiously over the tops of trenches while a few emerged to repair their positions and bury the dead. As darkness fell, some German troops set out lanterns and sang Christmas carols. Men on the British side applauded and shouted greetings. The next day, German, French, and British troops met in no man's land, shake hands, share food, and exchange gifts. It was a brief respite from war that soon ended when artillery and machine guns roared to life again. But no one who experienced the Christmas truce, as it became known, will ever forget how it felt and how it fueled their longing for lasting peace, which is found only in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. You see, in Jesus Christ, we can find lasting peace with God and harmony with each other. This is the life-changing message of Christmas. Unfortunately, on the first Christmas, many, including King Herod the Great, did not find lasting peace in their souls, let alone with God. Herod, whose heart was troubled greatly at the words of the Magi, "Where is he who has been born the King of the Jews?" told the Magi, put on a false front of having peace in his heart, and craftily told the Magi, who were sincerely seeking the newborn king to worship him, that he, Herod, would want to worship him when they found where the Prince of Peace, the King of the Jews, is or was. So this brings me to the heart of the message, the Christmas message God has given me from His Word to deliver to you at this precious, at this joyful hour in your life and my life. Please, I want you to listen carefully to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth and transformation, is so delighted and desirous to plant the seed of God's lasting and life-changing truth. In order to do what? In order to transform genuine born-again believers among us here today more into the great and glorious likeness of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, the beloved Son, the blessed One, the beautiful One, the builder and the bridegroom of the church and the beginning, and to turn unbelievers from the sin of unbelief, gently and graciously leading them to genuine repentance and personal saving faith in Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of Lords and the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So here is our message in a nutshell. Please, I humbly exhort you by the name of the Lord Jesus to pay very, very close attention to it with an open heart and a willing and an open mind. Willing to do what? Willing to receive it and respond to it. Here is the message in a nutshell. True celebration of the birth of Christ, the Prince of Peace, centers on the glad and genuine worship of who he is. Simply put, Christmas ain't Christmas unless Jesus is truly honored for who he really is. Folks, friends, faithful followers of Christ among us here today, and fellow believers in the fold and flock, fellowship and family of God, the Bible is going to faithfully and freshly show us today that on the first Christmas, nearly 2,000 years ago, the celebration of the birth of the Messiah, the King of the Jews, by the wise men from the East, focused on their what? On their hearty, heartfelt, humble, and honest worship of who Jesus really is. With hearts overflowing with joy, the Magi showed us what true celebration of the birth of Jesus is all about. It's about joyful and jubilant worship of who Jesus really is. You see, the birth of Jesus awakened spiritual longing in the hearts of the wise men, and they travel all the way from the East to worship him. On the other hand, the Bible will vividly and visually show us today that when Jesus was born into the world, his presence did not soothe and comfort most people. Instead, it startled and disturbed them. In fact, his presence awakened in others, like Herod the Great, fear and insecurity. Guess what? Things haven't changed that much. Jesus still divides people into those who acknowledge him as the rightful king of their lives and those who don't, no matter how they try to spin it. So please, if you have your Bibles with you today or your smartphones, turn them to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2, verse 7 to 12. Will you please listen carefully as I recite our passage of study from the updated New American Standard Bible, which is the most literal translation of the Bible into our English language. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 2, verse 7, "Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him.' After hearing the king, they went their way. And the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way." This is the word of God to the people of God. May the Lord add his blessing to the recital of his holy word today. Well, we have before us today a passage of scripture which is part of Matthew's account of the visit of the Magi to Jerusalem and later to Bethlehem. That is Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. We are looking at the second part of this wonderful story, that is Matthew chapter 2, verse 7 to 12, in our message today. It is a passage of scripture which can be accurately described as a passage of vivid contrast. First of all, it is a passage of vivid contrast because it relays The vivid contrast between the secrecy of Herod and the sincerity of the Magi. Herod was all hush-hush about finding out the exact time the star appeared. You see, he apparently didn't want anyone else in Jerusalem to know. And so he employed covert or clandestine means. In contrast, the Magi were honestly seeking for the new born king, that is, the king of the Jews. They were candid in their search of the king. Second, it is a passage of vivid contrast because it reveals the vivid contrast between Herod as a false worshiper and the Magi as true worshippers of Christ. Although Herod talked the talk of wanting to worship Christ, he was a fake, a sham, a counterfeit at heart. But that was not the case with the Magi. They not only talked the talk of worshiping Christ, they walked the walk of worshiping the King of the Jews for who he really was. Third, it is a passage of vivid contrast because it reminds us of the vivid contrast between the plot of Herod and the purpose of God. You see, the plot of Herod to find out the exact location of the Christ of God or the Christ child in order to carry out his clandestine scheme against him failed miserably. But the purpose of God for Christ prevailed. He was protected. He was preserved from the murderer, Herod. God's purpose for the Christ child triumphed over the wicked plot of Herod the Great. So these are the reasons why our passage of study today is a passage of what? Vivid contrast. Having so far simply whetted your spiritual appetite, please allow me now to give you a brief overview of how the Holy Spirit has prepared me to present his message, this Christmas message or story to you from start to finish. First of all, we will examine what the Bible reveals about the pretense of Herod in verses 7 to 8. Herod was really good at putting on a false front. Herod was not the rightful heir to the throne of David or David. I like to pronounce him David in the Hebrew, but it's David in our English language. Therefore, many Jews hated him as a usurper. Hearing about the birth of the King of the Jews not only troubled him deeply, but it also threatened him. You see, Herod perceived the newborn King of the Jews to be what? A future threat to his position. Instead of facing the truth, Herod masqueraded himself as a worshiper of Christ. Herod pretended he was all about worshiping King Jesus. Second, we will elaborate on the perseverance of the Magi in verse 9a. The Magi traveled thousands of miles to Jerusalem, trekking many months to see the King of the Jews. But having finally arrived in Jerusalem, they didn't find him there. However, they didn't quit in their quest to see the King of the Jews. They were not quitters like we often are, especially when the going gets tough for us. They pressed on. They persevered in their pursuit of finding the King of the Jews and falling before him and giving him homage. Third, we will explain the Bible's teaching focusing on the providential guidance of God in verses 9b to 10. God providentially guided the Magi with the star. We have a star behind us right here on the mountain, which was earlier, this star was earlier called his star. Now the question is, what kind of star is the star? Was it a nova, that is a star showing sudden large increase in brightness and then slowly returning to its original state over a few months? Well, with the help of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scriptures, we will answer these questions in the course of our study today. Fourth, we will emphasize what the Bible discloses about the Magi's passionate worship of Jesus in verse 11. Please listen. Christmas is a story about worship. The angels at the announcement of his birth worship Jesus. The shepherds worship Jesus. Simeon worship Jesus at the temple. And Anna the prophetess also worship. And now the wise men are worshiping as well. In this verse, the Bible vividly describes to us the crowning moment of the Magi's diligent pursuit of Jesus. The Magi passionately pour out their hearts in true worship of Jesus for who he really is, in a way that is remarkable and revealing. With a hub, you ask, what makes their worship of Jesus remarkable and revealing? Well, with the help of the Spirit of God and the Scriptures of God, we will address this crucial question in our message today. And then fifth and finally, we will expound on the personal warning of God to the Magi in verse 12. You see, after finding Jesus and worshiping him, the Magi were personally warned by God not to return through Jerusalem as they had intended. The question is, what does the personal warning of God reveals to us about God's ways? Well, I'm eager to know, and I hope you are eager to know as well. Well, having given you a concise overview of our Christmas story, let's now dig deeper into it to discover the precious and practical spiritual lessons the Holy Spirit is so eager and enthused to impress upon our hearts in order to do what? His special and supernatural work of molding and making genuine born-again believers among us here today more like Jesus Christ, our life, our leader, our lover, and our Lord in this present age and in the age soon to come. We begin, first of all, by examining what the Bible reveals about the pretense of Herod in verses 7 to 8. We are about to be introduced to a man who was not only crafty, cunning, cruel, cold-blooded, and callous at heart, but also a counterfeit. You see, Herod the Great put on a false front before the Magi, pretending that his heart was fully committed to worshiping the Messiah, Jesus, the King of the Jews. Would you please notice for yourself what the Bible reveals to us about the pretense of Herod? Verse 7 actually begins, first reveals to us that he was a shrewd schemer. Notice what the Bible says in verse 7. Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. Please pay close attention to the word secretly. It also means privately, privily, confidentially, or quietly without the knowledge of others. You see, Herod's secrecy reveals that his motive was deceitful and devious. In other words, his motive was impure. At a secret meeting or in a closed door meeting, Herod sought between just this meeting was just between Herod and the Magi. None of the aides of Herod were there. None of them. It was a closed door meeting between only Herod and the Magi. During that closed door meeting, Herod craftily sought to know the time of the appearing star. The Greek verb translated determined also means carefully inquire, ascertain exactly, accurately, or find out. The point here is that Herod was not only crafty and cunning, but he was also very, very calculated. Herod was not going to accept anything less than the precise minute, hour, day, month, and year on which the star appeared. Herod wanted to know even the very second the star appeared in the sky. It is generally believed that the Magi didn't arrive in Jerusalem until at least a year after the appearance of the star. Later on in Matthew, we see that Herod calculated that within two children under 2 years will be slaughtered. So we know that the Magi were not there on the day Jesus was born. They came later. You see, Herod knew that a shrewd way to get the right information he desperately needed to locate the right child was to let the wise men go down to Bethlehem and find the right child and then come back and tell him. So you notice that Herod didn't send any escort with them. Why? It's because the success of his deceitful scheme greatly depended on winning what? The Magi's confidence. Herod couldn't foresee God intervening to topple his devious and deceitful scheme. After vividly depicting Herod as a shrewd schemer, the Bible also reveals to us that he was a sham. Notice what the Bible says to us in verse 8. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me. I'm the boss here in Jerusalem. Report to me so that I too may come and worship him. Herod piously said to the Magi in their closed door meeting. Remember, this is happening in a closed door meeting. Nobody was there except Herod and the wise men. He says, I want you to know, friends, that the whole reason for calling this secret meeting with you is that I too will very much want to worship the King of the Jews. In fact, I will leave everything I'm doing here in Jerusalem and come to the exact place the King of the Jews is, and then personally, I will give him my heartfelt worship. Believe me, that's exactly what I want to do. Believe me. That's what Herod wanted to do. Well, but you know, and I know that Herod did not want to worship Christ, the King of the Jews. He was lying. What a smooth and slick talker Herod was. You see, this was a trick to get the Magi to return to him and reveal the whereabouts of the newborn King of the Jews. Herod wanted to kill the child whom he saw as a potential threat to his throne. In fact, he had already schemed to kill the small boys in Bethlehem, as verse 16 in chapter 2 of Matthew indicates. So all the little boys who were born under the age of 2 were in trouble, because Herod knew that if his scheme didn't work, he would kill all the boys in case, so that he would not miss the King of the Jews. So let's not miss the point here. Herod was a big pretender. He was cunning, calculated, and a counterfeit. Some years ago, the story is told of a waitress in Ohio who asked to see a customer's driver's license. She was shocked when he saw the photo on the ID. Guess what? It was her own picture on the ID. You see, the waitress had lost her driver's license a month earlier, and this young woman was using it. So she would have proof that she was old enough to drink alcohol. The police were called, and the customer, who became a criminal, was arrested for identity theft. Trying to gain what she wanted, she pretended to be someone she wasn't. So, was Herod the Great. He pretended to be a true worshiper of Jesus when that was not true at all in his life. Herod had no genuine desire to worship Jesus as the king, as the Messiah, and the ruler of the nations. His heart's true desire was to lay hands on Jesus and kill him. He wanted to eliminate all threats and rivals to his reign and kingship. May I say to us that this sickness of pretending to be someone we are not goes on in our countries, in our cities, in our communities, in our churches, congregations, chapels, and even campuses today. Some people put on a false front like Herod. They use the right Christianese. Notice Herod used the right Christianese. He says, I want to worship him. I too may come and worship him. That was the right Christianese. And we use right Christianese, attend church services almost every Sunday. They go to weekly Bible studies and even pray before their meals. They pretend to have it all together in order to gain the approval of others. But inside, they are struggling with hatred, with anger, with bitterness, resentment, jealousy, unforgiveness, murderous, and even suicidal thoughts. They won't confess their struggles to Jesus, who is willing to free them and give them rest. You can pretend all you want and even succeed in fooling people. But may I say to you, you cannot pull the wool over God's eye. Instead of admitting that he is feeling threatened and insecure, Herod pretended to be someone he was not. Perhaps you are here today and would like to confess that you have been pretending to be someone you are not. You've cheated your way through life and deceived others to get their approval. Today, Jesus is speaking to you. He says, don't be like Herod. Turn from all your pretentious ways. Repent today and receive my free and full forgiveness. He says, I'm ready to forgive you if you step up to the plate and ask me for forgiveness. Well, having examined the pretense of Herod in verses 7 to 8, the Bible now brings us to the point of elaborating on the perseverance of the Magi in verse 9a. I personally thank God many times for the Magi because their lives vividly demonstrated what perseverance in the Christian life is all about. In the first part of verse 9, we read this brief but blessed voice. The Bible says, after hearing the king, they went their way. These words are so precious. But you ask, how so? You see, in spite of their disappointment of not seeing the king of the Jews upon their arrival in Jerusalem, the Magi stayed the course of pursuing Jesus. Can you imagine having traveled all this distance and you got to Jerusalem with great expectation that there will be the king of the Jews that you will worship, and he was not there? But they pressed, they persisted, they pressed on, they persevered with all diligence. They didn't quit in their quest to see the king of the Jews. Now please think with me for a moment about the persevering spirit demonstrated by the Magi in their pursuit of King Jesus. Have you thought of what trouble it must have cost these wise men to travel from their homes to Jerusalem and then to Bethlehem? Remember, they are traveling from the Far East. Somewhere around Babylon, they are traveling from there. Have you thought of the many months they must have traveled over desert wasteland on possibly camel's backs, not in cars? Have you thought of the dangers they must have faced traveling thousands of weary miles that were infested by bandits. Yet none of these things moved the wise men from the east. You see, they had set their hearts on seeing him who has been born king of the Jews. And they never rested until they saw him face to face. What about you and me? What spiritual diligence do we show in pursuing Jesus? What persistence do we display in following the person of Jesus? What does your faith cost you? When the going gets tough for us, do we quit? Do we give up on God? Do we throw in the towel and turn our backs on Jesus? These are serious, personal, and practical questions to us. They deserve sincere and careful consideration. While having elaborated on the perseverance of the Magi, the Bible now brings us to the point of what? Explaining its teaching on the providential guidance of God in verses 9b to 10. Oh, how wonderful is the Lord our God. He delights in using any and all things to providentially guide those who are sincerely seeking after him. That is the key. If you are sincerely seeking after God, he is going to providentially use anything and all things to guide you. This is exactly what we see in our Christmas story here. God will use the star as his heaven-sent GPS to guide the Magi to the exact place where they will at last come face to face with him who has been born king of the Jews. Notice what the Bible says about the reappearance of the star. The Bible says in the second part of verse 9, and the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. Over the place where the child was. Please understand that the Bible does not say that the star which the wise men had seen at the beginning of their journey led them to Jerusalem, which is the capital city of the Judean kingdom. They went first to the capital city because they thought it would be the natural place for the king of the Jews to be born. No one was expecting the king of the Jews to be born in a little unknown place. They thought it would be in Jerusalem, where all the big shots were born. But now the star reappeared ahead of them as they made their way to Bethlehem, meaning the house of bread. Bethlehem was only 5 miles from Jerusalem, almost directly south. So this implies a very specific localized guidance from the traveling star, which came to rest over the young Christ child's specific location. Talk about GPS. God has his own GPS, and his GPS always works all the time. Sometimes our GPS mess up, but God's never mess up. Messes up. No doubt the star was God's providential or heaven-sent guidance of the Magi, directing them to the Messiah. Now the question, or the crucial question, is what kind of star is the star? Is it the star we have right here behind us on the mountain during this season? Some say the star may have been a conjunction or concurrence of Jupiter, Saturn, and Mars in 6 BC. Others think that possibly it was a nova, that is a star showing sudden large increase in brightness and then slowly returning to its original state over a few months. So that nova shines brightly at first, but then gradually the shine loses its shine. Some thought That may be the star. Well, please listen. The star was neither a conjunction of Jupiter, Saturn, and Mars in 6 BC, nor a nova. Please think of this for a moment. Couldn't God, listen carefully, who created the heavens, have created a special star to signal the arrival of his begotten, his blessed and beloved son? Yes, yes, yes indeed. Commenting on the star, Henry H. Halley writes, quote, "The star that the wise men saw was no doubt a distinct phenomenon, a supernatural light which by a direct act of God went before them and pointed out the exact spot, a supernatural announcement of a supernatural birth," unquote. Wonderful statement about a star. While taking the reappearance of the star as a confirmation of God's providential guidance in their quest to see him who has been born King of the Jews, led to the rejoicing of the Magi. This is exactly what we see in verse 10. The Bible says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. How wonderful. You see, the Magi's diligent pursuit of Jesus is now being rewarded. As such, they could not help but overflow with what? The joy of the Lord and great rejoicing. I tell you, friends and fellow believers, this was an exuberant joy. This was a joyful and jubilant rejoicing. That is why the Bible uses a powerful adjective and a powerful adverb to describe their joy. Literally, they rejoice with a joy great exceedingly. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, God promised the Jews of Jeremiah's days that you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Guess what? The wise men from the east experienced the fulfillment of this promise in Scripture in their lives on that memorable day in Bethlehem. Their perseverance in seeking Jesus with all their hearts has borne fruit at last. They were not disappointed. And may I say to us, no one who has set his or her heart on sincerely seeking Jesus will be disappointed. Rather, he or she will be overjoyed at finding Jesus. Well, having explained the Bible's teaching focusing on the providential guidance of God in verses 9 to 10, it now brings us to the crowning moment of the Magi's diligent pursuit of Jesus. That is their passionate worship of Jesus in verse 11. We are about to see for ourselves the Bible's vivid description of how the Magi pour out their hearts in passionate and true worship of Jesus for who he really is in a way that is remarkable and revealing. Notice what the Bible says in verse 11. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Please notice very carefully that the Bible clearly specified the place where the Magi found Jesus. Where did they find Jesus? It was in a house, not in a manger. Most Christmas cards show the wise men coming into the stable. That is not a true depiction of the Magi's visit to Jerusalem. If you have a Christmas card that has Jesus in a manger and the wise men around him, tear it apart, because that is not a true depiction of the Magi's visit to Jesus. You see, some time had elapsed since Jesus' birth in a manger, and the family was now settled in a house. Please notice also the preeminent position of the Christ child. The Christ child is given first place over Mary, his mother. In fact, whenever Matthew mentions Mary in connection with her child, Christ is always given first place. Five times in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew maintained the order, the child, and then Mary. You see, ordinarily, mention will be made of a mother first, then her child. But you know, and I know, that this child is unique and must be given first place. Now, observe what the Bible reveals about their passionate worship of Jesus. The Bible says they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Remember that in Matthew chapter 2 verse 2, the Magi clearly and concisely stated their purpose for coming all the way from the east. And what was that purpose? That was clearly and concisely stated. They stated that they came to worship him who has been born King of the Jews. Now we see them actually doing just that. You see, they didn't merely talk a good game. They also walked the walk. In fact, their worship of King Jesus wonderfully foreshadowed the worship of Jesus by all Gentile nations. These wise men knew that Christmas is a story about worship. That is what Christmas is all about. It's about worship of the person of Jesus Christ. Now, will you please notice in their passionate worship of Jesus, the Bible describes them literally falling down. The Greek verb used for falling down or fell to the ground, pesontes from pipto, also means to throw oneself to the ground as a sign of what? Devotion before high-ranking persons or divine beings. You see, in their passionate worship of Jesus, the wise men held nothing back as they literally prostrated themselves before the Christ child to give him humble, heartfelt, honest worship. Sometimes when we are worshiping God, we hold ourselves like we don't want to give ourselves fully for that experience of worshiping him. These wise men had no inhibitions. They held nothing back. They poured out their hearts in passionate worship of Jesus. The Magi worshiped Jesus for who he really was, in spirit and in truth. This is the essence of true worship, honoring Christ for who he really is. Remember when the woman of Samaria encountered Jesus at the well? The Lord Jesus revealed that the Father is looking for true worshipers who worship him, what? In spirit and truth. It is possible, this is my guess, it is possible that the Lord Jesus thought of the Magi as he taught on the Father's longing for true worshipers to worship him in spirit. The Magi showed us what worship truly is, because they held nothing back. I tell you, friends, their worship of Jesus is remarkable and revealing. But you ask, how so? Well, they worship Christ before he will ever pray as the God-man to the Father. They worship Christ before he will ever preach and proclaim the gospel with divine authority like no one else. They worship Christ before he will ever prophesy of the end of the age. They worship Christ before he will predict. He will ever predict his death and his resurrection. They worship Christ before he will ever pardon sin on earth as the Son of Man. They worship Christ before he will ever perform works of power or miracles affirming his deity or divinity. They worship Christ before he will ever promise eternal life as the true God. They worship Christ before he will ever pronounce to the Jews that before Abraham was born, I am. And the many I am statements. I am the truth and the life. I am the way, the truth and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Before he would say those words, the Magi worshipped him. They worshipped Christ. They worshipped Christ before he ever promised eternal life as a true God. They worshipped Christ before he would ever pay for our sin, debt in full, as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who sacrificed alone, fully satisfied the Father's wrath against your sins and my sins. May I say to you, passionate was their worship. Pure was their worship. Personal was their worship. And profound was their faith, demonstrated on that historic day in the little town of Bethlehem. You see, they worshiped Jesus before he convincingly showed himself to a watching world that he is indeed the God-man. You and I worship Jesus today because we know we have a great history of who he is and what he has done after he came to earth. Please notice also that their passionate worship led to the presentation of gifts to the Christ child. The Magi traveled thousands of miles to see the King of the Jews. When they finally found him, they responded with profound joy, passionate worship, and presence. With willing hearts, overflowing with great joy, they presented to him what was valuable, very valuable to them. This is so different from the approach people often take today. We expect God to come looking for us, to explain himself to us, prove who he is, and give us gifts. But those who are wise still seek and worship Jesus today, not for what they can get, but simply and significantly for who he is. Does that describe you today? Remember, Christmas ain't Christmas unless Jesus is honored for who he really is. Actually, the three gifts presented by the Magi perhaps gave rise to the legend that there were three wise men. But you will notice that the Bible did not tell us or does not indicate the number of the Magi. Moreover, the Bible does not say that they were kings. I personally believe that the three expensive gifts were God's timely and unexpected provision for the family's hasty flight to Egypt. While the Christmas story in our passage of study now ends with the personal warning of God given to the Magi in verse 12, the Bible says, "And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way." After finding Jesus and worshiping him, the Magi were warned by God in a dream not to return through Jerusalem as they had intended. No doubt the wise men were honest and generous people, but it seemed they lacked spiritual discernment. You see, they had failed to see what Herod was actually up to when he piously said to them, "When you have found the child, report to me so that I too may come and worship him." You see, Herod had succeeded in pulling the wool over the eyes of the wise men. They had assumed that Herod was sincere in his desire to come and worship Jesus. But though the eyes of the wise men were not sharp enough to discern Herod's deceitful, devious, and dirty scheme, before Almighty God, nothing is hidden. And so, using a dream, God personally warned the wise men not to return to Herod, the sly, slick, and smooth talking king. The wise men obediently returned to their homeland by another route. So the crucial question here is, what does the personal warning of God reveal to us about his ways? Well, here it is. God's plan will always prevail over the enemy's wicked plot against his child. God outwitted Herod the trickster. He was a trickster, and overturned his clandestine plot against him who has been born King of the Jews. O child of God, may you be encouraged, and may I be encouraged today and assured today that God knows when to step in and overthrow the wicked plots of the enemy against you and against me. The Bible says, many are the plans in the hearts of the mind of a man, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. This was true in this matter. So how does this Christmas message apply to you and to me today? Well, please listen. If you are already a genuine born-again believer in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is how the Holy Spirit wants to apply it to you and to me today. In total reliance on the Spirit of God residing in you, confess to Jesus today all the ways you pretend to be someone you are not, and receive his free and full forgiveness. You see, you will, and I will eventually be exposed for putting on a false front. Just ask Herod. I often confess the pretense in my life as the Holy Spirit convicts me of that sin. I confess. Well, second, consider carefully before Jesus today whether you are staying the course of seeking Jesus himself to be your one and only true satisfaction in life. Of staying the course of loving Jesus, of living for Jesus, of listening to Jesus, of looking to Jesus and learning at the feet of Jesus. Consider carefully whether you are staying the course in this matters. Third, count on Jesus today to guide you into his purpose for your life, so that your life will make a difference for eternity. Look at how the life of the wise man made a difference for eternity. We are reading of their story again and again every year. Four, commit yourself today to following God's leading in your life, even as the wise men did, allowing no disappointment or difficulty from stopping them from seeking, seeing, and surrendering their hearts to Jesus. Five, celebrate Jesus with passionate worship for who he really is, not only during this Christmas season, but every single day of your life until you see his blessed face in glory. Six, claim with calm assurance today that God's plan for your life will prevail over the enemy's wicked plot against you. Six, cast all your cares and concerns on him, for he cares for you. Now, if you are not a born-again believer in Jesus, may I humbly and honestly say to you today that God doesn't want you to miss out on true celebration of Christmas, that is honoring Christ for who he really is. In fact, God is inviting you to the party, that is to the celebration of his son's birth. Oh, how he loves you and how he loves me. He's prepared everything for you to join the party and enjoy it. All he requires of you today is to believe. And so believe today that Jesus died on a cross for your sins. Believe today that Jesus was buried to put away your sins. Believe today that Jesus rose again from the dead on that third day to bring you into a right standing with a holy and righteous God. And the Bible says you will be saved and set apart for his purposes, not only in this present life, but also in the life soon to come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this message today you have delivered to us through your word. I pray, surrendering myself to you, to use this message in my own life and use it in the lives of those who will hear it here today or hereafter. I pray that you, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, will be worshipped this season and the seasons of our life here on earth, so that when we meet you, we will only enter into greater worship of you. And now I pronounce your blessing upon your people. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance and grant you peace. And all God's people said, Amen.